In the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As we are approaching the end of the Coptic year, so the readings of the month of Misra starts with this week about the vineyard and how we will be held accountable for whatever entrusted to us, and God will one day will come and ask us, what did you do with what I have given to you? So today we are going to speak about one of the stewardships that we are entrusted over. It's the vineyard of the family. As we now we have the theme of the revival about the family, so I thought it might be fitting that we also speak today about this vineyard. There are certain things that we have to remember about the vineyard of the family, because as I said in the beginning, we will be held accountable and we will stand before God and give an account, what did we do with the family that God entrusted to us. The first thing that we should remember is the meaning and the stewardship of the stewardship and its purpose. Any organization has a mission statement, what they are after, what they are trying to achieve. And the church, in her wisdom, made it clear in the crowning ceremony what exactly God intended for the marriage to be about. God is the one who instituted the marriage. Sometimes people, they say, who invented marriage? Marriage was not invented. Marriage was instituted and by God himself. When Adam was alone, God did not bring a friend to him. Adam did not entertain himself by having a pet from the garden and just like spending time playing with. God is the one who instituted marriage when he brought Eve to him. And God wanted this marriage to have a certain purpose. And the church makes clear to us. The first purpose is that this institution would be a unit of worship. And that's why Christ, when he said that any two or three people gathered in my name, I will be among them. Two are the minimal number for a family, a father and a mother, or a wife and husband. So he will be among them whenever they stand and worship. That's why in the wedding or the crowning ceremony, we find that the husband or the bridegroom is clothed in a robe that's for a priest. It's not just to make him look in a way glorified or anything, but to give him the message, you will be the priest of the house. You are responsible to lead your house to the worship of God. And this small unit will be part of the main church that we are gathered today in. So this is one of the purposes. If this is not fulfilled, if the house is not a unit of worship, there is something that's going wrong. The house is not doing what it's supposed to do. The family is not a functioning one. Also, the church gives crowns to the groom and the bride. Why? In order also again to say that both of you will be a king and a queen over this small kingdom. We say in our Father who art in heaven, the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. And his kingdom is going to spread by having these small kingdoms, all of them under one king, that's God himself. So we say to them, the husband and wife, that you reign over your house, you have full authority that you have to exercise in order to bring this kingdom under the leadership and authority of God. When they gave up their rule, when they exercise no authority over the family, and things are going just random, again, they are abandoning the aim or the purpose that God intended for this family to be after. And the third thing is that both of them are anointed with oil. Anointment was in the old time, in the Old Testament, done for the priests, the kings, and the prophets. The prophets are entrusted over teaching the people. They are conveying to them the word of God. We know that this man is a prophet because he comes to us with news from God. His words to us. So again, the message is, your role is to convey the word of God to his children, the children that God is going to give to you, and also to speak with it among yourselves. So during the crowning ceremony, it is well clear, it is well defined to the people. God instituted this unit in order to be a unit of worship, a kingdom for God, and also a teaching place where the word of God is going to be spread through you. If we if we forget all of these and we think only of the marriage as a partnership, people are just living together, enjoying themselves and enjoying their children, again, then we are missing the purpose that God intended for the family. The second thing we have to remember about this vineyard of the family is that fruits are expected from the vineyard. Today, the owner sent messengers to ask for what? Ask for fruits. Okay, I give you the vineyard, give me the fruits. What are the fruits expected from the family? If we remember the purpose, now we can define easily what is the fruits that should be given back to the one who instituted this vineyard. The first thing is the reasonable service. Again, this is the worship. And whatever this kind of worship might be, it might take the form of prayer, it might take the form of serving others, but this is one of the things expected from day one. The reasonable service that we offer ourselves as a sacrifice whenever we stand before God. It's something that makes us in a way to think, when we start the marriage by partying like the world and going into things unfitting, then from the first day, we declare to God that we are not going to do this. We have our own way to offer the service whenever we want, in whatever form we think is fit. Another fruit expected from the vineyard is that this vineyard should be a resting place for the owner. Whenever he comes, he finds a place for himself to rest. The question for all of us, does God have a resting place for himself in our homes or not? When he comes, is he welcomed? If you think of him coming and you can see him, will he feel comfortable sitting with you over the table while you are talking? Will he feel okay to hear the words that you are speaking to one another? Will he feel at ease in the lifestyle that you are leading at home? Or he will be offended in what we are saying and what we are doing, and he is not going to stay simply because the place is not ready for him? If God does not find our homes a resting place for him, then the whole vineyard is not doing what's supposed to do, and it's not giving the fruits that it's expecting. Another fruit is that this unit should serve as a torch of light to the world. People look at this family, the Christian family, and God among them, and learn from them how life would look like, how a family should function, how they treat one another, and by this, the whole world learns. Why now the world is going in this turmoil? Simply maybe because we are not giving them the example. Maybe they are not looking to us and learn from us anything. One of the fruits why God gave us the family is this family should serve, like Noah's family. At the time Noah was, there was no right, good people at the time. He was the only righteous person. But God kept him to serve as a light to the world. Even if people do not benefit, but at least he was doing what he's supposed to do. He was leading his family as an example. Another fruit that's expected from the vineyard is the children who magnify God and exalt his name. And through this like small unit, another maybe unit or two, the family will maybe like have two or three kids or whatever. Those people are going to go and spread the kingdom of God in their families, and from this things propagate. If this not happening, then the fruits are not as God expect them. I understand very well that we might be trying our best and our children not responding. At least we should do what we are supposed to do. At least when we stand before him, we can tell her, we did this and this, we tried our best. Of course, the results are not up to us. The third point to remember about the vineyard of the family, that there is an order in the vineyard, like any organization. If the order is disturbed, the organization is not going to function well. And for this order to be there, there is some kind of understanding that should also be established in the mind of the stewards of the vineyard. Man is the head of the house. We know this. But in order for him to be the head, this head should be a wise head, a leader, a person who knows where he is doing. If the leader of the house does not know where to go, and then he comes and requests and say that the Bible says the woman should obey, how can she obey a person who does not obey God himself? How she can follow a leader who is blindfolded? This does not make sense. In order for the order to be done, in order for it to function, everyone should know where he is in the house and what he is supposed to do. If your boss comes to you and he is not qualified, he doesn't know what he's doing, and say that I am the boss and you have to follow me, this is a recipe for a disaster, that this whole unit is not going to function well. Before you say as a man, I am the head of the house, you ought to obey me and follow me, you have to make sure that you yourself know where you are heading. The woman in the order of the vineyard is his helpmate from the beginning. God gave the woman to be a helpmate. What does this mean? What she should know in order for her to function as a helpmate? Another thing also that for the ladies to think. In order to ask your husband to love you, you have also to, in a way, be a lovable person, someone that the husband can love by obeying and being kind and nice and helpful. The children, they are requested also to take care of themselves and to obey their parents. In order for this to happen, the parents should teach them how they should be obeying one another. There should be a kind of compassion in the family. Otherwise, obedience will be very difficult. They will rebel simply because this is what they learned. The fourth point to remember about the vineyard of the family, that there is only one owner of the vineyard. God gave Eve to Adam as a helpmate, not as a position. He does not possess her. And the children are not owned by their parents. Sometimes we feel or we assume that the whole place is mine as a husband or as a father. I dictate whatever because I own those people. This is not true. The mom gives her children in marriage and keep on sometimes like telling them what to do and how they should be always mindful of her instructions. They are not yours. You did a function. You worked a role in their lives. They have to be on their own after this. When we do this, we are disturbing the order in this vineyard. We do not own our homes or our children. We are entrusted over them. It also says that we do not understand this rule when we have our own rules. We have our own constitution that leads the house. What do I mean by this? If you have a place that's headed by the government of the United States, then the rules of the government rule over this place. You are there to execute what the government says to you. No one, for example, would go in a court and he's a judge, and then he brings his own constitution and says, this is my rules. This court, I run it by this way and by this style, and these are the things that I'm going to do. He's going to be fired. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. Now the question is, what is the constitution for your home? Do you have your own set of belief? Do you have your own tradition? What you learned from your parents and you think this was the best way that was ever done in order for a person to be raised? Sometimes we say, my parents were doing this. Are your parents the reference of raising children? We all know that we are human beings and we make mistakes and we are fallible and our parents are fallible as well. There is only one constitution, one book that this unit that's under the authority of God should run with. When you make your own rules, you are doing something wrong. You are not handling the stewardship right. There is one owner who is going to come and ask you, what are you doing exactly? I didn't give you your wife and your children to run this house according to what you think is right. And again, I said, parents, they guide and to raise their children, but they should not think that they own them. Your children are not property that you keep always thinking that they should follow whatever you say, no matter how old they are or wherever they might be. The fifth point to remember about the vineyard of the family. What is faithfulness is? God said that He is going to reward a steward who was faithful and wise. Both of these are required. A faithful steward who is not wise might be working hard, but he is not working in the right direction. He is honest, he is sincere, but there is no production, no results. He is doing his best, but with no wisdom. A wise steward who is not faithful might steal the vineyard. He might be crafty, a cunning person. He has the wisdom, he has the brain, but he does not have the heart to be a faithful servant or a steward over the vineyard. What does it mean to be a faithful steward in handling the vineyard? The first question that a steward should ask himself, do I belong to this family? Sometimes you find kids, they talk to one another and say, your father did this. Abuk amal. Abuk, as if like he is not my father. When I say this, it says something hidden in it, that I do not belong here. Do we belong to our families? Do we have our heart in it? Do I feel like everything in this family is relevant to me? Or I am disconnected? I am detached? I'm on my own. As a son or a daughter, I don't care about those people. Those people are parents. What they do, I don't know what they are doing, and I don't care. At the end of the day, I want to complete my days here, and then I run and I flee. If I handle it this way, I do not belong. As a husband, as a father, do you feel you belong to the family? The family is what concerns you at all times, or you have your heart somewhere else? You have your mind in another place. As a wife, do you belong to the family, or maybe you have something else to think about? Another question also that we should ask ourselves, what do I want and what is best for my family? Are these the same? Whatever I want is what is best for my family, or I have a different agenda? I have something else to do that brings joy to my heart. It does not necessarily being the best for my family, but I say that, what about my right? Then here there is something wrong. Going back and remembering St. Paul. St. Paul has a desire and has a responsibility towards the people. His desire was to be with Christ. He was always thinking, I wish I will be with him. This will be much, much better than the life here on earth. Then he continues saying, because of thinking of the people, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. I choose to be among you with all of the tribulation and the trouble that I'm enduring, because I feel like this is more important for you. So my own desire is something I put it aside because of the best interest of the family. This is faithfulness. A faithful person does not have a personal agenda. He only think of what is the best interest of the family. He does not pity himself or herself and always think that I am doing this and this and this, and where is my life? What is exactly your life away from your family? When you were engaged in this relationship, when you were part of this institution, then it is not anymore yours or hers. It is this institution, the vineyard, that one day you are going to be asked, how did you handle it? Another question to ask ourselves, if we are faithful stewards, how much am I mindful of my duties versus my rights? When I talk, do I talk all the time about my rights? This is my right, this is my right. Or I'm thinking of my duties because I belong. You remember the older son in the story of the prodigal son? He was thinking of, where are my rights? I am serving you and I'm expecting you to give me something to feast with my friends. If this is what is in your mind, you are a servant, then you're a slave. You are not the owner. You do not belong to this unit. How do you think of this? Are all the time grumbling about the rights that we did not have, what I need, and you are not giving me, you're not satisfying me as a person? And then, as a faithful steward, what is the level of commitment that I have towards my family? Do I feel like this thing, I'm committed as much as I love, I like those people, and if I don't like them, I have no commitment. Many of the young people, they think that marriage is about a passion. I feel like I'm in love with a person, and then the story ends with they lived happily ever after. This is only in the movies, and this is the end of the movie, because you don't see what's happening after this. What is going to happen after this is this passion is going to fade away. And then the question will come. Are you committed to the family no matter how you feel? Or as the passion is gone, then the whole marriage is gone. Then we go back and become the old people, the old nature. And we are not committed, we don't like the whole thing. And we keep the rest of life after the honeymoon just grumbling against this institution. As a faithful steward, it is the commitment that makes us the people that God is going to reward at the end. It is your level of commitment that say how much faithful you are. The last point is, what does it mean to be a wise steward over the vineyard of the family? There is no fruits in the absence of peace. When we fight over and over and over and over, and we choose to fight, I know sometimes like it's forced, but when we choose to fight over trivial things, when we make a big fuss out of a meal that's not cooked right, or maybe the laundry that was not done, anything like this, when we disturb the peace of the family, who is going to prosper or grow in this atmosphere that lost peace? What do we trade peace with? بنتخانق على إيه? What do I sacrifice peace with? Maybe we need to ask ourselves this. Many times we fight over many trivial things. I understand sometimes there are major things that needs to stop no matter what. But when we waste our time and effort, our energy into trivial matters, we are hindering the growth of and the prosperity of this vineyard. To be a wise steward, have to do your very best in order to establish peace in this vineyard with whatever sacrifice you might be able to offer. To be a wise steward, it is to learn and to ask for counsel, because this is crucial. No one is given everything to know. No one is given all the knowledge in order to be able a leader. We all are supposed to learn, and we all should counsel ourselves, and we check what we believe with somebody else. This is an action done only by wise stewards who want to make sure that they are doing what is right. When you think that this is what is right, I know the way, I am the man, I have to do it this way. Again, you are leading yourself and your vineyard into a big trouble. Sometimes we ask the question retrospectively, shouldn't I have done this or this too late? Too late, the thing is already done and a damage already occurred. To be a wise steward, you should be free while you are making a decision. No one can make a right decision while he's taken captive with a desire, with a passion, with a bias. If you are to be a wise steward, you have to be a free-willed, free-minded. Nothing is taking you captive. If you are biased towards something, if you have a desire towards something, this will affect your decision, and at the end is going to affect your family. To be wise steward also, then we have to set realistic expectations and we update them as we go in the journey of marriage. The expectation that things are going to go all the time as I think, as I wish, as I want, is unrealistic. To think you are dealing with a person who is going to be perfect one day is also unrealistic. To require from others to follow what you say while you yourself cannot follow what you yourself wants for yourself, this is unrealistic. To be wise is to set realistic expectations. And as we go, we update these expectations. To think that your children are going to be equal in everything, they have the same level in everything, they have the same kind of obedience behavior, this is unrealistic also. People are different and we have to understand that. To deal with a child that he has to know what you know in your 40s and 50s, This is unrealistic. He is learning. I wonder when we do not excuse the children when they do a mistake that's not by intention, and we tell them you should know better. We teach them, that's why we are there. To think that he's going to know what you know now as an adult, it's unrealistic. Will make the life of people miserable. In order for any vineyard to prosper, it needs those entrusted over it to be faithful and wise. And those are the ones are going to be rewarded. So at the end of this Coptic year, while the Lord is talking about one day, I'm going to ask you about what did you do with the vineyard. Remember that one of the vineyards that you entrusted over is your family. How you handle it, how you give account before God is something for us to meditate on and to think of while we are going through this holy season of the fast of Saint Mary. May the Lord grant us to be faithful and wise stewards, to be able to give account to him at the time of his coming. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.